So we've got about 25 minutes or so to use in this time. And what we mainly want to focus on is kind of questions that help to make the practice more possible for you to do, right? So very broad kind of questions like, you know, is freedom really possible? And, you know, can I really be awake in my daily life when it's so challenging and things like that. We'll kind of deal with those later in the retreat. But now it might be more questions like, I was always told not to interfere with the breath and you're telling me to make it go longer. That doesn't make sense. Why are you doing that? You know, something like practical related to that. Or when I try and do this, it actually makes me more stressed or things like that. Yeah. So you can ask in Hebrew or English and we'll give reflections back in response to your questions. So, who actually feels like they might have a question at this point? Yeah. You. Okay. Great. So yes, please. Would you like to start? Yeah, so we're going to record the questions, but you won't get picked up on the recording. So I just kind of reflect it back, and sorry, I won't do as good a job as you did. But you know, this invitation to make our experience enjoyable, pleasant, and that's something maybe we feel is possible to do. But actually, what I'm coming with is actually something painful. Right, and you know, wanting to accept that, you know, there's pain, there's sadness, there's all of these kind of qualities that I come into the practice with. So should I be trying to get rid of the pain by making it more enjoyable? And so here comes the response. Essentially the Dharma teachings are not saying that you shouldn't accept or that you should accept, you know, the painful experiences you're having, but to understand in what ways am I contributing to making it worse, right? So in that case, it could be non-acceptance of the pain is actually what's making it less comfortable. And so working on that very radical step of actually accepting this is painful, right, is a way of not making it worse. So if we kind of use a counterfactual here, it's like if we said your practice is to make your experience worse, yeah, just imagine, how could I make this worse for myself? I'm feeling pain, how could I make this worse? Oh, I could have this self view, or I could, you know, get really tight and agitated and really like work myself up, you know, and you're not doing that, so that's great. But by not doing that, then what if you not do it a bit more? Like, how then does that support the holding of this experience? Yeah. And so we're just taking the opportunity not to deny the experience that we're having, but actually to hold it in ways that actually soothe and allow us to be open to it, sensitive to it. Yeah. And in that way, we're meeting what needs to be met in the best possible way we can. Yeah. So kind of turning the elements of our experience towards well-being. So it can still be painful, right? But it's a kind of a relief in actually meeting the painful with less reactivity and less agitation. So that's how I see it. Does that make sense?
So I'll also repeat the question, because probably also the ones at the back didn't hear. So the question is around working with the posture and finding that after a certain period of time, the legs get numb, and that is uncomfortable. That creates tension, you know, through sometimes the whole body, the whole experience. And a question around, let's just try it this way. Can you still hear me? Yeah? So around when is the is there a time to move? When is the time to move? And that being in the broader question, both the specific around the legs getting numb, falling asleep, is that a problem? Is that normal? Is that common? But also about this balance between when we... Yeah, this isn't working, is it? So both the specific about the legs falling asleep and the general about kind of working with that discomfort, when to move, right? Those are the two aspects of the question. So the leg, I'll start with the easy. The legs falling asleep, the numbness, very normal, very common. And if we did a survey in the hall, I'm sure for many people, including myself, yeah, from practicing for many, many years, that still happens. So just to know, and it's really helpful often to know that, just to know, no, this happens, it's normal in itself, it's not actually problematic, except that it's uncomfortable. So it doesn't create long-term damage. Some things, well, we'll talk in the posture workshop about ways of working with that, particularly kind of on the technical aspect of the posture, reducing it at least. And then there's something interesting here in this practice where we were opening, and it's in both the questions that we've had, in what we put our attention, where we put our attention, and how. Yeah, this is the kind of key thing. Nathan was talking about it yesterday. So one thing we'll notice with something like discomfort in the body, and we might be getting a sense here with the two questions that we've had, that there's a range of responses depending on actually what's happening. With discomfort in the body, we'll notice the mind really goes there. Yeah? So it might be the legs falling asleep. It might just be something really mild, like a tickle somewhere, yeah, or an itch somewhere. The mind goes there, focuses on that, and reactivity builds up. Is that familiar? Yeah, you must have come across it. And so what part of what we're cultivating in our practice is the capacity to both have more choice about where we bring the attention, what we place the attention on, so we can move it from the uncomfortable place in the body to, say, something neutral like the breath. And then we can even explore, okay, how do I breathe in a way that is soothing? Yeah. So this ties in also to the first question. How do I breathe in a way that supports space, supports acceptance when there's a kind of an emotional pain there, or also physical pain, right? So it's like, how do I breathe in a way that soothes? So that could be both where we place attention and how. And in this particular practice of kind of tuning in to this range of the soothing, the nourishing, the pleasant, even, yeah, when that's possible for us, we're really working with creating a more flexible mind. Yeah, that's a big part of why we're doing. Yeah, so, and then it comes to, okay, how do I know, I think this was part of your question, how do I know if this is too much or it's time to move? That's, again, part of our exploration. As much as possible, if the pain is not related to injury, yeah, it's not related to something chronic, then we're encouraging ourselves to explore staying in that posture, seeing what supports. Again, acceptance is part of what supports us to stay, softening, opening the space that we've been doing, tuning, bringing the attention to other things, yeah, rather than that. than the pain. When it gets to a point where there's an intense sense of struggle, yeah, it's just this against, that'll be the place where we say, okay, yeah, what about moving in a way that in, that the movement is part of the practice. It's not now I'm stopping, yeah, and doing something else. I'm moving in a way where I'm still mindful. So sometimes it's a very small movement that's needed. Sometimes it might be more. It might be doing this. Yeah. And if the leg is completely fallen asleep in that situation, we need to help it, yeah, with the hands to do that. So it's having that interest in the experience. We're not disconnecting from the sense of interest, the sense of care in the exploration. Does that respond to your question? Yeah? Great. And we had another question in the back before. Yes, please. You can also ask in Hebrew. אז השאלה היא לגבי הקצב המומלץ במדיטציה בהליכה, וככה האפשרויות שנבדקו עד עכשיו זה או הליכה מאוד מאוד איטית, או הליכה בקצב רגיל. ואני ככה אחזיר עליך את השאלה, האם ככה הבחנת בהבדל בין השניים, בין שאתה הולך לאט לבין שאתה הולך בקצב רגיל, מה קרה בכל אחד מהם? אם זה נוח לך לענות, אז אתה יכול לענות עכשיו. אם זה לא נוח לענות, אתה לא חייב. זה יכולה להיות חקירה פנימית שלך. ואני אגיד על זה עוד קצת. אין בעיה. אבל זה באמת, ההזמנה כאן עם השאלה שלך, היא, זו שאלה מצוינת. כן? נבדוק מה הקצב שהכי תומך בתרגול, בהליכה. או בתנועה עבורי. אז בדרך כלל ההמלצה היא ללכת יותר לאט מהקצב הרגיל שלנו, כן? כי מה זה נותן? זה, הסיבה לזה זה שזה מאפשר לנו, בדרך כלל האטה תומכת בקשב, אבל זה לא נכון לכולנו, כן? וזה אולי גם לא יהיה נכון לכולנו, תמיד. וגם בהאטה הזאת יש לנו ספקטרום, אז אפשר לבדוק, כן? אם מה שמעניין אותי זה לראות איך מה הכי תומך בקשב, כן? ביכולת להיות בנוכחות עם התנועה של הגוף, או עם המגע של כפות הרגליים בקרקע, מה הקצב שהכי תומך בזה? ואז לשחק עם זה, להעט, לראות עד כמה אני צריך להעט. זה גם יכול להיות מאוד תלוי בדברים אחרים. לפעמים, אם יש הרבה עייפות, למשל, אז נמצא שדווקא, או הרבה חוסר שקט, נמצא שאולי ללכת בקצב יותר רגיל, או אפילו בקצב יותר מהיר, עוזר לנו להניע את האנרגיה. אז גם שם אפשר לענות דרך הקצב. אז אני לא נותנת לך תשובה קלה, אני מחזירה את החקירה אליך, באמירה של בהירות לגבי מה אני מנסה לעשות בתרגול בהליכה, אני רוצה להיות בנוכחות עם התנועה של הגוף, בנוכחות עם החוויה, ואיזה קצב יתמוך. איך זה נשמע? כן. וזה באמת גם באמת יכול להביא עניין. כן? וכמו שנייתן אמר, להביא לשם גם את הסבלנות. לא להחליף בתוך תרגול בהליכה אחד, ככה במשך כל 45 דקות לשנות כל הזמן את הקצב, ולהגיד, אוקיי, אני עכשיו ננסה ככה, כמה הלוך ושוב, ואז אני אראה איך זה משפיע. אם זה עולם ולהמשיך להיות בקשב למה שקורה. Good enough? Tada. See a question there. Ken, thank you.
Yes, so the question is around, you know, coming to a longer period of meditation and noticing that, you know, there's changes there, and as it gets longer, the distractions can come in and we can kind of wander away. And having heard places and other teachers and teachings that suggest different ways of actually keeping that level of attention and presence through the period of practice, and do we have any kind of ideas or suggestions about ways of kind of deepening that practice or actually adding more variety to the practice to support us? So in a way, we could say that we come with like a broad intention of like, why am I here? What do I want more of? What do I want to see more of in the world? And kind of like bigger pictures like that. And then we feel, to be able to get that, I should be more focused. I should be less distractible, right? So firstly, it's really important just to check, is like, is that actually a requirement? Or is what I really want is actually more kindness, right? Not more indistractability or whatever. So it's just that's just a general question. And some people will teach, oh, you've got to have focus, you've got to be concentrated, you've got to not be able to be distracted, and then you'll get free. Maybe. Because then afterwards, you're still going to have to cultivate the qualities that you really want, the peacefulness, the joy, the whatever else. Yeah. So just keeping that in mind. But then let's talk a bit about really sustaining and supporting and lengthening the amount of time that we can be present. So what helps us is interest and also not being too tight, right? So that quality of relaxedness and interest in my experience. Now, at times, the mind is going to tell you, this is not interesting. Yeah, I tell you what's interesting, that person who hurt you and that thing that we're going to do in the future and that, and then we get distracted. So working with a sense of this is actually interesting to me, to be breathing in ways that actually is unlocking a deeper potential in myself of well-being. So there's ways that we breathe that actually feel nice and ways that we hold the body that actually feel nice. So last night in the talk, I was talking about dukkha as a conditioned experience. And then there can also be like joy and happiness and love as a conditioned experience. And we feel it. We know that there's joy, there's love, there's happiness. We feel it. Like someone says, well, how do you know? And you're like, well, I just know. That's what I'm feeling. But we actually feel it in the body, we feel it in the energetics, and we feel it coming through in the way that we pay attention. So that's conditioned, dukkha's conditioned, joy is conditioned, and we're heading in that direction and giving ourselves a more joyful, more interesting, more delightful experience. So that's kind of the direction that we're going for, and paying attention in a way that supports that to come into being. So it involves a lot of creativity, involves the heart and the mind being engaged in the experience. Then we would say, well, what brings that for me? And it might be that lengthening of the breath becomes more significant necessarily than the focus. And when I notice I've gotten distracted, I think, oh yeah, that's probably because I'm squeezing and then I'm going to soften it. And so we have that kind of more like artistic way of practicing. It's like, oh, that's going there, but actually let's come this way. Let's bring it down into there. A few kind of practical things, maybe more directly related to what you were speaking about, is a lot of distraction happens, I think, not on the in-breath or on the out-breath, but in the bits between, when things get still. So if we thought about like a dial, like a volume, old volume dial knob on like a hi-fi or something like this, yeah, is like, I would say your effort level needs to be pretty low when there's an in-breath, but pretty high when there's a gap in between, and then pretty low again when there's an out breath, and then pretty high when there's this gap in between. What is stillness really like? And oh, here it comes, in breath's coming, and I ease back. And so our attention is actually dynamic and it's moving in accordance to what we're paying attention to. And then equally, this idea of taking something like three breaths is also saying, let's make an effort for three breaths and then we rest. And we're just staying here, we're here. If I'm present or not, it's not pushing all the time. It's like, actually, now let's do another three breaths and really cultivate that enjoyment, that pleasantness and all that. And then just rest in it. Yeah? And so through that, we have this dynamic, and life is dynamic. so we can be kind of responsive to that. And that's another way that we can sustain the attention for longer, yeah, by applying those. Yeah, it needs this, it needs that. Let's do that, let's build that. It's actually, three breaths is easy. Let's do three breaths, you know, three sets of three breaths, and let's do them in kind of different ways that are really opening, really about the in-breath. This one's really about the out-breath. This is about both. And we're like lengthening out that game. So that's a few suggestions around that. Hope it makes sense. Does it feel, gives you symptoms? Yeah, do it. Yeah, so really good question there. So, you know, it's drawing out this element from the question. Oh yeah, see the time. So, should I have sticking with just one practice and really kind of deepening my understanding of that and actually seeing where it can be applied and where it can't and for a session? And there's that way, or should I have more kind of dynamics so that it stays kind of interesting because of the, you know, a change is as good as a rest, we say in English, you know, it's like, oh, you know, you change to this one and now it's like, oh, I'm starting again. So we could cultivate a sense in even in that first way, is like, actually this is a new moment, this is a new beginning, this is actually starting afresh. And I think that having that sense of starting new in this moment, and then seeing that, ah, this can actually deepen now. This moment could actually deepen through the way that I pay attention, through that cultivation, that quality. If you have other practices available to you, then I wouldn't do too many, but I would include, you know, say, okay, this is establishing that, and I'm keeping going with it. So that question of kind of patience and playfulness is like, now I'm going to try a different way into this experience, and then now I'm going to do this, and so having that kind of, like you called it, agenda, you know, it's like, okay, it's not random. I make a plan and I can stick to that plan, and I'm cultivating myself, and then realizing actually that was too much change, so I reflect. So a basic idea, if you're going to start improvising, I would say, is like to think about three parts to a practice. There's the beginning, making a sense, this is what I'm doing here, reminding myself. That sits within my overall intention of what I want to be cultivating in my life. Yeah, and it's like, that's why I'm doing this and I'm clear about it. Then the middle part is actually applying that practice, that technique, or multiple practices, multiple techniques. And then the third part is the bell rings, check in, that what have we cultivated here? What is there more of that there wasn't at the beginning? Did I actually stick to my plan like I meant to? Or did I just go freeform, or did I forget? I just didn't do anything. And we just have a little bit of time of reflection. And at that point, we have that, and then that feeds into the next round where we set our intention within, sitting within what's valuable, what's meaningful for us, applying that, checking in. Yeah, so it's kind of alive, and it's that kind of experimentation. So I hope that's helpful as like a framework, and specifically what you end up doing, I think, trust in your intelligence. Okay, so I think we'll go out for some walking. Still got half an hour for that practice. Is that okay for everyone? All right, thank you. Enjoy.